Jalen Jacoby is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Before we get started today, don't forget about the Jalen and Jacoby virtual live event sponsored by Bolt 24 and Straight Talk Wireless. It is this Tuesday, April 27th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Make sure you join us. We're going to be doing our thing, discussing the news of the day. We'll have some soft move or boss move. We'll get some voicemails. We'll take questions from you live on the Zoom. Join us from the comfort of your own home. Have a beverage, some medicinal, whatever you like. You can join us on the Zoom by visiting bit.ly/JalenJacoby427. That is bit.ly/JalenJacoby427. You can find the registration link in the show notes or at Jalen and Jacoby on Twitter. And when you're registering, be sure to submit your questions. Soft move, boss move, cultural regional, anything you want. Advice, relationship advice, professional advice, anything you want to see us talk about, we will use them on the show. Space is limited, so pause this podcast right now and register right now. Now, we'll see you Tuesday, April 27th, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And baseball is back, and so are your favorite teams and players. Catch the best of the bigs all season on ESPN Plus with more than 170 live Major League Baseball games featuring every star and every team in the league. Sign up now at ESPNPlus.com/baseball. And when you're not watching baseball, you can listen to the Baseball Tonight podcast with Buster Olney. Buster gives you the scoop from ESPN insiders, players, managers, and voices from all across the sport. That is weekdays throughout the season. Follow Baseball Tonight podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, though?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen Jacoby, what is it that we do?
We make sure we take the time, the energy, have the love and the passion to be your tastemakers, favorite tastemaker show. And get a people.
It is Thursday, which means we have a podcast exclusive show today. We always take time to make sure that we give you an old school, behind the scenes, no executives listening, podcast exclusive show every single week, two times a week. And when we have a guest, we always have exclusive content with them. Right now, joining us is Charles Woodson. We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content with our guest. Today, we have Charles Woodson joining us. Charles, you played in the NFL for a long time. And you always played 16-game seasons. They've now expanded it to a 17-game season. How do you feel about this change?
I don't think they needed to add another game. I think they, shortened the preseason to three, I believe. So, you know that the owners are trying to make that money up on the back end with another game. But for me, if you're going to add that extra game, man, then it's got to show up in the paycheck for the players. That's the way I look at it. And I think we got to look at health insurance going beyond the 5 years that it goes right now with NFL players. So, you're adding a lot of wear and tear on these young men's body when you're always talking about player safety. So it's got to show up somewhere, man. It's got to show up in their bank accounts, and it's got to show up in health insurance.
To all of our fans, my brother Charles Woodson, you probably see him enjoying wine and spirits and having a good time with his Hall of Fame jacket on. But let me tell you guys something. There are only a couple of people that play any sport. Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, Charles Woodson, that can play multiple sides of the field, that can play multiple sports. This gentleman won a Heisman Trophy winner as a defensive back at the University of Michigan. A complete game changer. And so now as you watch the game and it's going to be 17, do you think that affects the integrity of the legacy of certain players? For example, when a guy like Kirk Cousins retire, if Troy Aikman didn't have the championship rings, people will be like, man, Kirk Cousins got more touchdowns, more stats than Troy Aikman. So how now are people going to judge great players moving forward with all of the numbers that's going to be distorted?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be distorted in the sense of, the numbers aspect. Like you said, these guys are going to have an extra game, 17 games to, sort of pad their stats. It's like, playing in a game and, you're up and now you're just trying to pad your stats, man, and get those extra yards or the extra passes. But at the same time, it's all about the eye test. And so nobody's going to compare, you know, Kirk Cousins to a Troy Aikman when you, you know, when you talk about the eye test. You know, what do you see? Numbers can, you know, only mean so much in terms of who you know out there on that field is that dog.
That's a good point. Now, we have the NFL draft approaching, and we know Lawrence going number one. We feel like Wilson's going number two. With the 49ers traded up to get to that number three spot. What do you think they should do with that number three pick?
Yeah, honestly, man, I like Justin Fields, man. You know, I don't know for whatever reason, man, that he's, you know, kind of been piled upon, you know, the last few weeks as far as, you know, all of these different issues they're saying he's had. But, you know, I watch, you know, of course, I'm, you know, went to Michigan. I'm a Big Ten guy. So I watch Justin Fields, man. And on a few occasions, man, he kind of showed me, you know, what he's made of. You look at that game last year, this past year against Clemson, when he, you know, got hit, took the rib shot, man. And, you know, he came back on in and wasn't going to be denied. You know what I'm saying? Played a stellar game. I look at a game a year ago against my team, against the Wolverines. He hurt his knee, had to go out, you know, for a play, came right back in next play and just threw an absolute dime down the field for a touchdown. So he has the toughness. He has the accuracy. Especially, particularly on his deep balls, man, he throws dimes, man, and so he's a guy I feel like that I can trust, you know, in the game, man. And this is to take nothing away from, you know, any other quarterback out there, but in terms of, you know, if I'm, you know, trying to build my team, and if you're talking about San Francisco, who already has a system in place, and I got a guy with a tremendous amount of upside, who I think if I really had to plug him in, you know, first week of the season, second week of the season, and let him get going, and I can, you know, cater to him and his capabilities, I'm going with Justin Fields.
Y'all hear that? Jacoby, you hear that? We tried to tell the 49ers, don't get cute.
Don't get cute, man.
Ilton is telling y'all to take the quarterback from Ohio State. That means he's extremely good. Extremely good. He's watched him up close and personal.
That means I've looked past all the rivalry stuff and all of that, you know, how many times we haven't won in the last 15. I've thrown all of that out the window, man, and I'm telling you, this kid can play.
I agree. And someone else you can play with and won a Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers. Do you think he retires as a member of the Green Bay Packers, or did he does a Brett Favre later in his career and ends up somewhere else?
Man, I think you die a hero, or you live long enough to become the villain. You know, so it's like if you think about all of the greats, and I've been around a few. You know, Jerry Rice, whoever thought he would have left San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You know, we're looking at Tom Brady. Tom Brady played 20 years with the Patriots. Mm-hmm. Who would ever thought he'd be down here, you know, an hour from me in Tampa? So I just think the longer you play, man, it's almost inevitable, you know, that you're going to play for another team. Only a few, you know, play for the, you know, same team their whole entire career. So I think from what I understand, he wants to play at least 5-6 more years. He's going to be on another team.
Charles, before we let you go, I need to hear more about this wine, the Intercept wine. I want to know where the grapes are from. I want to know if you're out there trimming the vines, getting in the soil, getting your hands dirty, putting some overalls on. Where the grapes from? What kind of wines come under the Intercept brand? Where can I get some?
Yeah, so the wines are out of Paso Robles, man, out in Central California, and, you know, the Central Coast. So our Pinot and our Chardonnay come from Monterey. And the red blend and all of the varietals that go into the red blend and the Cabernet are Paso Robles. So we have a Chardonnay, Pinot, red blend, and Cabernet. And you can get these wines on CWIntercepWines.com. We deliver if you order, or you can just type in your zip code. You know, we have national distribution, so we are in a store near you somewhere. So type in your zip code, and there's a store locator on there, man, and find out where we are in your neighborhood.
CWIntercepWines.com.
Well, I love you, my brother. Right. We appreciate you coming on. We'll be begging you to come on as the season progressing. And for anybody that can't see this video, just know that Charles Woodson is rich, and it makes me happy. It really does. It makes me happy.
Hey, man, everybody ain't pulling for you, man. It's good to know that I got another brother that's pulling for me, man. I appreciate you.
No doubt. I know what you've overcome, brother. All respect.
Brethren, man.
Yes, sir.
I just want to let everybody know, man, I'm a fan out for a second, man, because I grew up, man, on that Fab Five, man. I almost knocked myself out one time jumping up for a game in my house and hitting the ceiling because of the Fab Five. So I love my boys, family. Man.
Thank you, man. Love you too, brother. Appreciate the love.
Go Blue.
Have a good one.
My man.
Have a good one.
I want to thank Charles Woodson for being so rich. Coming on the show. I'm going to take everybody behind the curtain since this is a podcast exclusive. We have a live event coming up in just five days from today, the 27th of April. Go to bit.ly/JalenJacoby427 to sign up for this. And Jalen called me yesterday while I was having lunch. And he said, we got to do this together. We got to be together in a hotel room.
Doubt.
I don't want to join the Zoom. I want to be together. And he goes, we got to shoot it like, did you see Redman and Method Man last night? We got to do it like that. And I was like, my man, first of all, I love your passion and I love your energy. Redman and Method Man had cameramen, they had a stage, they had a video background, they had a whole setup. I was like, bro, I want to get the people what they want too, but you can't do it like that. We got the budget for that. I text our producer Taylor Schwinn, and I was like, "Yo," he's like, "Yo, we want to do this and that." He was like, "Just join the Zoom, dog." He's like, "Just join the Zoom. Just join the Zoom. That's all I need from you."
Oh man,
we're gonna do it big. We're gonna plan. We're gonna get some voicemails for it. Call 985-80 Jalen. Give us a voicemail we can use in the live show. But just so you know, we're planning and plotting for this live show on April 27th. So go to bit.ly/JalenJacoby427 and sign up and join us because we're going to make it a party one way or the other. One way or the other.
Yeah, we are.
Having Redman, Method Man production value, but we're going to make it a party. I want to talk about Redman, Method Man for a second because I was watching that and I love all the new hip hop. Like I listen to Roddy Ricch and I'm listening to, Young NBA. And I'm listening to Drake, and I'm listening to Juice WRLD, and I'm listening to all the new little hot songs and singers out there. I always like to keep up with the latest, and I spend a lot of my time listening to the latest and greatest. However, watching that versus battle, it was just reminding me of why I fell in love with hip hop, because that's the hip hop I fell in love with. Like, I'm not the dude who's gonna say that the mid '90s was the greatest hip hop that was ever recorded. That's just my personal opinion. That's just how I feel personally. But watching them bring out K-Solo and EPMD and Wu-Tang and Capadonna, and it's just, I was like, man, this is what I fell in love with. And I'm not saying that hip-hop is better than any other hip-hop, but personally, in my mind, that was the hip-hop that I just couldn't stop playing in my car, in my Walkman on the way to the games and all of that. I love that hip-hop so much, Jalen. What did you
think? And also, too, the one thing about that era is hip-hop was still young then. Hip-hop was born in 1979, so it was only 16 years old. Mm. And so what ended up happening is your originality is what set you apart and gave you a chance to have a career. So EPMD needed to be different from Eric B and Rakim. And the Wu-Tang Clan needed to be different than Tribe Called Quest and different from Run DMC. And different as they started to have groups than the Lox and Mobb Deep. And you notice I'm naming groups because that's the biggest thing to me that has changed in the game. And if you notice with these verses, we've seen Ray and Ghost. We've seen Red and Meth. And so it continues to highlight why Wu-Tang Clan might be the greatest group of all time.
There's no question in my mind.
That's where I got to with this because, I mean, before the verses, I take that back.
What were you about to say? Say it, Jay. Say it with your chest.
Ain't nobody topping NWA, dog. Nobody topping NWA.
In my mind,
ain't nobody,
In my mind, Wu-Tang. No. Everyone got their own opinion. In my mind,
it's Wu-Tang. And ain't nobody topping Dre and Q and Easy. Like, ain't nobody topping that. But the point that you're making is a valid one, is that hip-hop was birthed, it almost was about a passion for the game. You remember My Boys, EPMD, shout to East Islip, New York, used to fly me up there. I had all of the PMD gear, EPMD gear. You see me at the Final Four with the stuff. Y'all see me repping my guys. Y'all see him up in the studio. They had a song one time called Keep the Crossover. You remember that?
Yep.
That was a big line of demarcation in hip hop. That was still at a time where artists were trying to hold on to the origination of rap music and not lose it to the suburbs.
The whole genre done crossed over. There's no such thing as crossing over now. There's no such thing.
Correct. Like, at that time, just so y'all know, two human beings that I love that are extremely talented. And the first one is MC Hammer. You know he got a Detroit kinship. You Can't Touch This. I've been to KMEO Summer Jam on stage with Hammer. That's my OG. Matter of fact, I should get him on the show. That's my man. I love Hammer. But there's a time in his career and a time in Will Smith's career where they were the most famous rappers in the game, and the industry was not happy about it.
Nope.
The once industry David was
Jacoby,
not happy.
Once David Jacoby and Amherst, Massachusetts buys your tape, it's over.
Right. Exactly.
It's over.
Exactly.
I'm in the woods, dog. I'm not in the hood. Yeah. I'm in the wood.
Yeah.
Once I got your tape, it's over.
And so that started to cut into the game. It started to mess with a lot of people, money and creativity, and started to mess with the group. It changed the game forever. But you know what it did? Brought more fans and brought more money. And when you do that, you welcome. When you do that, you welcome. Brought more fans and brought more money. And look what ended up happening to the culture and show you the growth of rap music. A white rapper from Detroit can become the number one rapper in the world. And a black and mixed Jewish rapper from Canada can also be considered the top rapper in the world.
Not top rapper, top musician, dog. Top musician. Musician. Top
and musician. That's where it's changed. And that word musician, Jacoby, is exactly right. It's where rap music changed.
Mm-hmm. That was just so much fun to watch. I love Redman and Method Man so much. And can I tell an off-wax story that I probably shouldn't tell on wax about Method Man?
Of course you should, especially since he's on J&J every day.
So before I was a professional at Disney, I might have experimented with marijuana in college. All right?
No.
I might have.
No, you wouldn't do such
and
a thing.
I lived in New York City.
No.
In New York City, and we had this guy
you should be arrested.
Page him, and he would call you back, and he would come by in his little tiny little car. It was like what were those called? Oh, it was a tiny little car, right? Like a Volkswagen, like Cabriolet or something, right? Like a little car.
Uh-huh.
And he would come, and we would buy $20 of the worst marijuana in the world, allegedly. Perhaps.
Sticks and stones may break your bones.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like seeds, sticks, smelled like coffee. You know what I mean? Dry.
And Gotta cut it.
But he would come in like 90 minutes. So we'd just be sitting around the dorm room just waiting for him, me and Uncle Mike. And he would come and I would buy $20 worth because that's all the money I had. And I just got out the car. I'm walking down 8th Street, and who do I see in a Joe Namath jersey but Method
Man? Keep it moving.
And he was with this guy. I think his name was Street. If you're like a real Wu-Tang head, you remember Street. He was on some tracks. And he was like, I was like, oh, Method Man, what up? He's like, oh, what up? He gave me a pound. He was just so like, I was just a regular just dude. And he gave me a pound. And he was like, yo, like, he's like, where the trees at? And I was like, well, I got some.
Oh,
but I'm not gonna sell it to you. Like you can smoke. He's like, nah. Like I don't want to smoke. He's like, I ain't sell. I was like, I don't care who you are. Like I just waited 9 minutes for this.
Yeah,
I said, I'm sorry, bro. Like, nah. Yeah. I know you're Method Man. You're my favorite rapper in the world, and you're
a
living legend, giving me a pound and showing me love. But nah, this is mine, dog. This is mine. You can come to my dorm room and share, but this is mine. So I gave him a pound, and he bounced. So then I allegedly might have gone to a bodega to buy what the cigar. I might have gone to do that.
Swissers.
So I was in there, Dutch Masters only. I was in there getting a Dutch, and he walked by the bodega, right? And he walked by the bodega, looked in the bodega, and saw me at the cashier, and pounded his chest and pointed at me, right? Like, he didn't have to do that. So he pounded his chest and pointed at me, and I was like, oh, man. I guess I gotta give him some, right? Like, he's like showing me so much love, and he's method. So then I was like, all right, hold on a sec, Meth. So I come out there right on the street, and I was like, I can't. So I pull out my little 20, my pillow sack 20, and I was like, all right, well, I can't sell you this whole thing, but I'll give you a nickel. And I'll get you enough. Like, I'll get you enough for like a little blunt. I was like, all right. So he takes out a dollar bill and folds it in half the long way. And I squeeze out from my bag, like, just enough for like a little blunt for him and his man, right? And then his man goes, what's up with that whole bag? Like, kind of aggressive, right? Like trying to intimidate me. And I was like, what's up with that bag? This is mine. Like, that's what's up with it. What's up with it is that's mine. Like, what do you mean?
And then what's up with the rest of that, dog?
Yeah, and then you Method Man kind of put his hand out, like, no, no, no. Like, he already said no to us.
Yeah,
he already said no to us, and now he's giving us a nick. So then Method Man thought I was like donating it, and I was like, nah, dog, like, that's a nickel bag. And his name was Hot Nicks at the time. I was like, that's a hot nick for Hot Nick. And then so I made him pay me, and he thought he was just gonna walk away with it, like I was gonna donate it. So I was like, nah, dog, I need my $5. So he made pay me my $5, gave me a pound, I gave him a Dutch, and we went our separate ways. But that's, man, you couldn't tell 19-year-old me that was just dope. I mean, I was like a cloud nine, and had nothing to do with the $20 of swag that I had. I was just so happy from that. So I sold a hot Nick, and his man tried to steal my bag. That's my Method Man story. Jalen Rose, I've got the perfect story for Jalen and Jacoby. Now,
listen up, I got a story to tell.
Much like your basketball career was very long, very successful. Much like your, but now it's over. You're no longer playing basketball. Can't even get you to come play pickup on Monday nights, right? But it's the same thing with your gentleman's club career. Now you talk about basketball. You're an analyst. You used to be in the gentleman's clubs all the time. You had a long, successful career.
That's sad.
But now you're just an analyst. So when we have these type of stories, we have to bring them to you, the gentleman's club analyst, the vet, the retired vet. It's been reported that there's a place in Miami called the Booby Trap Strip Club. And allegedly, there were some Rockets players there, multiple Rockets players, about a handful. Got this from my guy, Robert Littal at Black Sports Online. Sources said that Sterling Brown entered the wrong Sprinter van on his way out of the club. And there was a heated exchange with the people that were in that Sprinter van. And it escalated, and they all ended up beating up Sterling Brown. And he was hit in the head with a bottle, and blood was everywhere. He was hospitalized. He was released from the hospital. He had stitches. It was apparently an extremely violent, dangerous incident. So, Mr. Rose, the NBA is investigating. Something tells me there's some COVID protocols that might have been broken if you're at the Booby Trap. So, Mr. Rose, as someone who may or may not have been to a gentleman's club before, what do you think about this incident?
Did the incident happen inside of the Sprinter van or outside of it?
Outside of the Sprinter van, I believe. You know I don't like follow-up questions.
Correct. So Sterling Brown, for those that don't know, had the incident as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks in an altercation with the police that ultimately led to him either winning the case or suing the police officers, and was one of the players at the forefront in the bubble as a member of the Bucks that stood on the table to talk to them about not playing and focusing on trying to change laws in their community. So I got a lot of respect for him, and I'm wishing him a speedy recovery. Based on what you're telling me in the story, it just went, having too much fun spills out into the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that you got to do when you're going in and out of spots, I hate these two periods of when it's time to go get it in. The time that I leave my door to the time I have my first beverage. at the spot. Right? That whole time in between getting there, getting in, getting through people, da 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 da. Of course, I'm out going out to have a good time, but that whole period of it just takes, you know, emotional energy to navigate through other human beings to go out and be a public figure. They're a member of the Rockets. They had to go past people. You know what I'm saying, Jacoby?
Mm-hmm, of course.
And while you're in the spot, no telling who else was in there, but I'm pretty sure the players had just as much, if not more, money than the other patrons. There could probably be some testosterone there, depending on how the funds were being distributed and how the talent was being distributed based on those players' money. Maybe they were monopolizing the spot. I don't know. But either way, the description you gave me sounds unfortunate for him, because that sounds like the mistake that you can't make.
Yes, and there's some statement from the Rockets said, last night Sterling Brown was the victim of an assault. He had no prior knowledge of or interaction with the assailants. He suffered facial lacerations and will make a full recovery. So there's also someone else with knowledge of the incident said that there was no sprinter van altercation. There was no sort of quote unquote beef, that he was assaulted from behind. Now, obviously there's two sides to every story, but if that was the case, that just sounds even wilder to me. But it does sound like Sterling Brown wasn't really trying to start any problems and ended up going to the hospital, and now he's going to be in trouble.
Well, that just what stinks. It's like you're Aaron Donald. You try to go out and have a good time. You got your people with you. Altercation happened. And I know people listening to my voice saying, if I was Aaron Donald and I had so much to lose, I would never leave my house. No, that is not accurate.
No. And I also don't want to hear, you shouldn't be at the strip club at 6:30 in the morning, which is when this allegedly occurred. You shouldn't just be there because that's time for trouble. It's like, well, you're allowed. It's not breaking any laws.
Right. If it's open, no, you can be there.
He's living his life, and there's a right. Different body clock. I'm up at 6:30 every day, but I'm waking up.
Right. And just so you know, for everybody out there, there are times when you waking up, there's certain people either going out or going home. That's just kind of how the world works.
Oh, yeah.
And money never sleeps.
Everyone that lives in New York has definitely been on the subway train looking at a bunch of people going to work and they're going home.
Right.
Everybody's done that at least once.
Exactly. So hopefully he has a speedy recovery, but it's also a continued lesson to when you go out, man, you just got to watch your back, have some security if you can. There's always strength in numbers. Try to communicate as few as possible with strangers. Try not to offend other people that may be jealous of your status or your money. It's a lot of eggshells you got to navigate in order to go out and have some fun, but hopefully the fun is worth it.
One thing I love about doing this show with you is you assume that everyone listening is also a super famous and rich athlete. You know what I mean? Like, yo, if you go out, have some security with you. Like,
I was giving him advice.
Tip the doorman $100.
I was giving him advice.
Okay? No, I appreciate it. And he's having a good little season, too.
Yeah.
He's having a good season, too. And yeah, I wish him a speedy recovery. It sounds like this was bad. And, you know, I wasn't there. I don't know the details. But if he was truly just assaulted from behind without any sort of, like, prior interaction or knowledge, that's just really, really unfortunate. That's really unfortunate.
Yeah, that's why. Absolutely.
That's real whack. Jalen Rose, I know we talked about it on the show, but I'm not done talking about the New York Knicks. New York City's on fire right now with Knicks. It's just wild. It just goes to show that, like, the Nets were always a little brother. And the Nets can have more wins and more stars and have a higher seed and a better record. But none of it matters right now that the Knicks have won a straight game. None of it does. No one was checking for Reggie Bullock, Nerlens Noel. You know? Burks. Moutier.
Oh,
love
man.
This team. Are they the most likable team in the NBA right now? I'm being serious.
No. You're just a die easy fan. You and Nick Tutts and Ben Lyons and Turtle from Entourage and Chuck D and all y'all texting me and talking about y'all Knicks. Matter of fact, I got to get Uncle Chuck to come on the show. He's so excited. You think you excited about the Knicks? Oh, man. I can't stand y'all. I can't believe. Like, no, they're not the most exciting team in the league.
I said likable.
Oh, likable?
Yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah, they got Moutier. Some good stories.
First, I said Moutier. I meant Elfrid Payton. My bad.
Well, people know that you were clearly watching the game. You go to the game, you took your son to the game. You can mess up somebody's name. How about the time on the right side where Elfrid Payton is trying to throw it into Trey Young and he kind of stole the ball? And on the right corner, he kind of navigated the baseline. He kind of threw a nice bounce pass the other side. And no teammates have better hair than Derrick Rose and Reggie Bullock as he stepped in and knocked down the three. I'm like, wow, that was really good.
But you can't hide from Reggie Bullock. You can't hide from Reggie Bullock.
Yeah. And Julius Randle has really elevated himself into all NBA status for this season. Derrick Rose quickly. RJ Barrett. Shout to Tibbs. Shout to my brother Scott Perry. Because I know he stood on the table for them to go get Julius Randle. And I always felt like that was a good deal. So when you do this for a living, it's easy to like thump out your chest about certain things that end up eventually happening. But it did mean something at the time when Julius Randle was going from playing with the Lakers and now playing with the Pelicans. People did not expect him to be this player.
There's a New York Post article. They don't live in New York. You didn't read, but it was talking about Leon Rose and World Wide West. And Scott Perry didn't get mentioned, which I found interesting, but I'm sure he was in the room. They also have some other people in the room, some analytics people.
Hold on, hit the break. Can you repeat that?
There was a New York Post story about Tibbs, Leon Rose, and World Wide West.
Hold on.
In the draft.
You said, I know you don't get the Post because you don't live in New York?
No, I said people that don't live in New York didn't read this article. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the audience. Yeah. I know you read the Post. You're in the Post today. Renaissance Man. Every Thursday. Check it.
Yes, indeed. Yes. So Hebrew Brantley article. Is my guest. Hebrew Brantley.
Oh, dope.
He's like a modern-day Basquiat, Jacoby. He's at Jay-Z. So many other notable people buys art. He's from Chicago. He's 6'8". He got a crazy story. So check out Renaissance Man this week. My guy, Hebrew Brantley. Please continue.
So there's this article, and they're talking about Leon Rose, World Wide West, and Tibbs, and some assistant GMs. And I'm sure Scott Perry's in the room, but he didn't get a mention, which I found interesting. But he's just trying to stay low-key firing, keep my name out the paper.
Correct. And, yes. That's his instruction, just so you
There know. Was an argument about the philosophy of the team, where there was one side that was like, let's tank. We don't need to be good. Let's develop young players. We don't need Randle, Noel, Payton. Bullock, we don't need these Derrick Rose types, Taj Gibson types. Like, we don't need these veterans. Like, let's just play young team, develop them, get another good pick, develop Toppin, develop quickly, and be bad again. And Tibbs is just not having it, right? And eventually, Tibbs convinced the team, and I'm sure it wasn't this simple, but this is what the article seemed like, to sort of mix in some veterans for some leadership, some defense, some hard-nosed just role players. And I am so happy that they went this way, because this team is so likable right now. And so likable. And God, if they host a game one playoff game, I might just stand outside the garden and just put my ear up against the wall.
I'm gonna be with you. Feel the energy.
Trae Young got hurt last night. That's not good. Mm-mm. Ankle landed on someone's ankle. Didn't seem to be good.
No.
We also had the Clippers beating the Grizzlies. And can I make my case for the Clippers right now?
Absolutely.
Can I make my case?
Absolutely.
Clippers are 42-19. They're on a run. And Kawhi's not even playing in the games. And last night, guess who else didn't play? Paul George. Pat Bev, Rajon Rondo, Reggie Jackson, Serge Ibaka, all of them did not play. Did they beat the Grizzlies? Yep. Yeah, they did.
They did. And Jaren Jackson returned.
Did Luke Kennard score 28 points? Yep.
Yeah, he did.
Is Terrence Mann getting real time and real buckets and having a real impact and no one's going to say his name? Yep, that's happening. Like, the Clippers are a real threat. The Clippers are a real threat in the Western Conference, and no one's talking about them. It seems like people are talking more about the Warriors being a threat in the playoffs than the Clippers. That's where we are right now in 2021. That's where we are.
Right.
And I was against the Clippers last year. You know, I picked against them. Mm-hmm. I thought they had chemistry issues. I didn't think the bubble was going to work for them, and I was right about that. I'm going the other way this year. Like, they were overvalued last year. They're undervalued this year, especially in a playoff series.
All facts. We're locking step with that. And as you get on your Knicks soapbox, I can't help but shed my Piston tears as I watch League Pass, see former Pistons like Bullock and Rose and Luke Kennard out there balling. And my guy Brown for the Nets making plays.
Bruce
Andre
Brown, Wood,
Drummond.
Christian Wood.
Andre Drummond playing for the Lakers. And Middleton playing with the Bucks. And Tobias playing with the Sixers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Christian Wood playing with the Rockets. But as I digress, I believe what you're saying about the Clippers is accurate. I agree with that. And they just didn't handle prosperity in the bubble well. You know how I say can't give some people nice things? Like, they ain't never been the favorite. They ain't never been the team to beat. They ain't never went into a season people be like, they gonna be better than the Lakers. They're guaranteed. And so because of that, they folded under expectations. They changed coaches. Ty Lue brought in a new voice. I agree with you. Them and the Lakers are the two best teams in the conference. And really, I believe, actually, the two best teams in the NBA as well.
Hmm?
The Lakers and the Clippers are the two best teams in the NBA. I wouldn't pick nobody. Yeah, I wouldn't pick nobody in a seven-game series today against either one. And by the way, I ain't stupid. Like, I know what Brooklyn has. But if you told me today Brooklyn or the field, I'm taking the field.
Sure, but that's reductive, though. I'm saying if Brooklyn has the three healthy, and we know what three we're talking about, and they're in a series against the Los Angeles Clippers, and they've got Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, healthy and humming. They just went through the Eastern Conference. So they've now played 50 days together. Like, the playoffs start in the 22nd of May, and they end in the 22nd of June. So they played the month of May, or 22nd of July, actually. I'm not tripping. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They played the end of May, entire month of June together, and then they meet the Clippers in a seven-game series. So now they've got a bunch of games. They've already taken. They've got some heads. They've got some trophies on the mantle already as a trio. You're picking them over the Clippers. Don't lie into a microphone. You would not.
Well, so you underestimating the Clippers' journey. That means the Clippers also beat LeBron and AD, right?
Oh, yeah. They'd beat LeBron and AD. They'd probably beat Chris Paul, you know?
So who do you think is the best team overall in the league when everybody helps? Lakers or the Nets?
Nets.
Right.
It's close. That's real close to me. But I would say Nets.
Okay, so that's where we differ. I believe Lakers.
It's hard to make a case for me because it's more the idea of the Nets because we haven't seen the Nets.
Well, there you go.
It's an abstract concept right now.
You know,
it's like time travel. It's like, yeah, it doesn't exist, but like hypothetically, I would love to go back and bet on the Lakers last year. Yeah.
No. I'm taking today I'm taking the Clippers. I really am.
Would you take the Clippers over the healthy Lakers?
No.
I wouldn't either.
No. Lakers, then Clippers, like I said, for my money, are the best teams in basketball.
You start planning your outfit and your haircut for Christmas, like around Thanksgiving, right? Just imagine. Close your eyes and imagine NBA countdown, game one. In Brooklyn, New York, on site. Lakers, Nets, NBA Finals. What's the outfit?
Ooh, Lakers, Nets.
In Brooklyn?
Wow.
I mean, the ratings would be crazy. It would be like the most watched NBA Finals since probably like peak Cavs, Warriors, I want to say. It wasn't that long, but still.
I gotta go like, let me think. Like, you might not know this, but I'm like black and European. You know what I'm saying?
I did not know that. And I do not understand.
That's if you had to ask me, like,
European, European, Blurpian.
The blackest first, yeah.
Blurpian.
And you know, it's like fashion in Brooklyn. I have to go some, like, one of those, like, mocha colors. You know what I mean? Double-breasted. Mm-hmm. You know, short jacket cut right at the waist, show the belt. You know what I'm saying? Not really, like, dress pants. More like a leisure pair of pants that allow me to rock any pair of shoes, that allow me to lock some lace up, that allow me to rock some hard bottoms. You know, that type of thing. Crispy cut. Oh man, crisp cut. Oh man, if the Nets make the finals, y'all gonna think I get a haircut every 5 minutes. But that's might what I'm. That's might what I be doing. I might just do it. Everybody always assume I do it. Just purposely, just get a haircut at halftime.
No, do what you do. You just take off the wig you've been wearing for 10 years right at halftime again.
Take it off.
You've all been right. You've all been right.
You got me.
Before we get to our voicemails, I got to shout out my man, JC. JC works here at the Seaport.
JC, I love you, my brother.
And he was doing the lighting for the room where I do the show. And he was like, I gotta point out something to you. He's like, you're losing your hair. He's like, it's thinning. And he's bald, so he knows what it looks like. He knows how to spot it. He's like, you're thinning a little bit. He's like, if you want to do something about it. No, here's I need your advice. Before we give advice to the callers, I need your advice, Jalen Rose. He was like, if you're going to want to do something about it, now's the time to do something. And I was like, you know what, JC? Like, I'm just going to let nature take its course, man. Like, time is just time. Time is a flat circle. I'm just living this life once. Like, I'm just going to let you know, God don't make mistakes. You know what I mean? I'm just gonna let it happen. So as my closest confidant, my brother from another mother.
No doubt.
Should I take some action, some preventative measures on my hair?
There was a time. This is an amazing question. Circa December 2020. I'm wolfing for like 6 weeks wearing a hat every day on TV. My gear's not right the night of the 21st. I get my first cut just to try to, you know, trim the bushes. You know, before you do the true landscape, you got to just like just slowly start cutting things down, checking out the trees, checking out the bushes, checking out the branches. And so I just trimmed it down a little bit. Then when my outfit wasn't right, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go mohawk. Because my hair ain't going to be what I want. I'm going to just go louder outfit.
Okay.
Right. And then my hair ended up being a mohawk. And I got the outfit that I was supposed to rock. So then I realized something. You're almost 50. You just had a half moon Caesar in your head for almost a year. You just cut a mohawk in your head. I looked up at the beginning of January and I started picking up my hair. I'm like, wait, I got like four different lengths in my hair. I'm like, hold on. I'm like, I need to cut this down. So I cut it down lower. And obviously, you know, a lot of stress and losing my eldest brother, and losing my grandmother, and losing my mom in February. I'm thinking that I'm losing my hair, Jacoby. And I'm like, wait a minute. I cut it down, and it's not growing back. I asked myself the David Jacoby question that JC asked you.
No. This is an existential crisis for you, my man. People aren't checking for my hairline.
Correct. If this is the moment of truth, how would I handle it? If part of my hair ain't growing back, but the rest of it is. What if where the part was won't grow back? What should I do? So I went to the barber and beauty supply spot, tried to get whatever lotions, shampoos.
No, you didn't tell me this. You didn't tell me this.
Put in my hair.
You did this on the low.
Red the ledge, and his better half sent me some more African oils to christen my hair as well. Oh man, it was a real crisis.
So you went to the shop and you went to the cashier. You were like, "Yo, do you have anything that can help me grow my hair back?"
I said it as loud as I could.
Oh my God, Jay. You didn't tell me this. I thought you told me everything. I didn't know there was aspects to your life I wasn't familiar with.
Oh,
I'm learning a lot today.
Oh no.
Wow.
I need that shampoo. Like, yo, you put this on. First off, you put it on once a week, and then you're able to put it on twice a week. And then you use it with this shampoo. You use it with that conditioner. And I'm mixing and matching what I'm doing and what Reg sent. And that day I sent Andy Authentic a picture. Just like you and JC.
What'd the text say?
What if it don't grow back?
Oh no. Well, Andy,
that's exactly. He was like, I'll see it when you get here. That is not encouragement. So no. I went to bed that night. I saw him the next day. He came and picked it out. And unlike me, Andy Authentic freaked out a little bit.
No! Oh, no! Oh,
he was
no!
Like, here's a quote. Damn, big bro. You had the number one cut in the world. What are you doing?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Andy Authentic isn't even confident about this? Yo, this is a problem. Now I know why you didn't tell me.
Oh, no. Because I had my JC moment of truth. Am I going to have to do a cheat code moment? Have to go get somebody to patch a piece of grass right here with a half moon season?
Some AstroTurf?
No, nobody
spray paint it, throw it up there?
You know what I'm saying? Nobody would know. But then again, I don't want the maintenance of that. Like, what people don't realize, if I had to take any energy for my hair, it wouldn't get compliments. Because all I do is sit in the chair. And I don't shave. So all I do is sit in the chair. I don't do nothing. And I decided if it didn't grow back, I was going to rock it like the late, great Kobe Bean Bryant.
Really?
That's exactly what I said. I'm going to cut it all the way down, but where it ain't bald.
So, Jalen, what's your answer to my question?
In this scenario, Jacoby, you should cheat.
I don't know if I can take pills or something that grow my hair. I feel like I'm going to start growing hair from the bottom of my feet. You know what I mean? Like,
you should cheat, dog.
The problem with me, you're too young, dog. Our producer, Demetrius, is named PBH. That's his nickname, Perfect Bald Head. He got the perfect bald head. I don't have that. Because, you know, I got the rose. I got the cornrows. I got the skin cornrows. I got that Sharpay extra skin birth defect thing going on. So I don't look good bald. I'm worried about this. And have you ever seen me wear a baseball hat in your entire life?
No.
You've never seen me wear a baseball hat?
No.
My face is too pretty. I don't wear sunglasses or baseball hats. My face is too pretty. But as much as I'm like, God don't make mistakes, let nature take its course, definitely don't feel that way about my teeth. I need them whitened real quick. I need them whitened right now. I'm going to drink some Clorox. It looks like I ate a highlighter. I'm going to rinse with some Clorox. Spit it out. Hope I don't die.
Oh, man.
I appreciate your advice as always, Jalen, but we got to get to the people because we always get the people they want. Part of that is putting the people on the show. So if you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. And if you do, we'll put you on the show just like this.
Jalen, Jacoby, shout out Reg. It's your boy Bedbug. I'm back with an update. I got to say, these bedbugs, or BBs, if you will, have been the worst CBs I've ever encountered. And they entrenched themselves in the many parts of my life. But however, hope springs eternal, because they're gone. It's been over 6 weeks. As such, me and the aforementioned young lady went out again. She has shown incredible compassion and empathy and kindness and patience. All qualities I like to think I would want in what would be one half of a power couple. All this is to say is that we went out again. We had an excellent time. We came back to my place, and I did not have to act like a begrudging bouncer, keeping her at the door and turning her away. She came upstairs, I gave her a tour, we sat down, and I'm not going to talk out of school. All I can say is that a good time was had by all. So I have to officially retire the bedbug moniker. A sad day, however, it's necessary. I don't know if you want to call me a love bug, you call me whatever you want, as long as you call me. Y'all keep giving people what they want. Peace.
So happy for the love bug. If you don't know, he's called a couple times. He had a young lady that was interested, and he was interested, and he didn't want to bring upstairs because he had bed bugs, and he didn't want to explain why she couldn't go upstairs. So he called us, and he needed advice. We gave advice, and now the love bug has cleared his name. He's cleared his home of the bed bugs, and he is now entertaining at his home. I am so happy to hear this. What a day it is on Jalen and Jacoby.
The love bug sounds like he was on his Greg Louganis swimming south of the equator. He was enthusiastic. And it makes me happy.
Good for him.
It makes me happy.
Good for the love bug. I love people that call back and give us updates. If you call into the show,
correct,
call back and give us updates. I love
that. And
love,
you know what I like too, Jacob? You know what I like? They're like us. It ain't just highlights. It ain't him just saying this part of the relationship. He brought us in at the beginning, at the bed bug part.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just bring us in and tell us about who he's dating and how well it's going. He allowed us to be a part of the process.
The love bug has triumphed. He's triumphed. This is good,
you know,
versus
what I'm
evil.
Saying?
This is the hero's tale. He had adversity, and he didn't give up. He didn't quit. He fought through the adversity.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm so happy for this. What a day on Jalen and Jacoby.
Exactly.
What a day. We need the couple from Denver to call us back.
Streamer.
Where are the couple from Denver at? We need y'all back. Remember the couple from Denver, the polyamorous couple from Denver? We need to get an update from them.
You ready for this?
I love them so much.
You ready for this?
What?
I sent them hoodies.
Oh, good. Good for you. There's no one I would rather have wear the Jalen and Jacoby logo with pride than that couple in Denver.
What about our guy, though? The love bug got to get a hoodie.
All right, love bug, hit up the J&J account. We'll get you a hoodie.
I'll get you a hoodie.
We appreciate your success. We're in your corner, love bug. And you know what? I hope to hear in the next update that you two are a true power couple. Appreciate you. And also, I also like that you didn't air out the details on a national, extremely popular podcast, because that shows a little bit of class. Appreciate you, love bug. We got time for one more quick voicemail. What do you got?
Yo, what up, Jalen and Jacoby? This your boy LL Cool Trail from the 414. Shout out to Reg. I just had a regional or cultural question. I was listening to First Take, Her Take podcast from 420. Shout out to 420. And I heard Shanae, Charlie, and Kimberly talking about black people tanning. Now, I've never run into any black person who said I would like to be darker, but they seem to think that a lot of black people actually tan, and I just don't find that as the case to be. So I just want to know what you guys thought about that. Keep giving the people what they want. Get them checks. Peace.
Dylan is our resident senior African-American analyst. I'll let you take this one.
There's a term that's universal for people that look like me that applies to males and females. The blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. And I'll tell you this. When Jalen's at his apex in life, when I'm really in my zone, it's when my shirt is off.
Yes.
My toes are out.
Yes.
The sun is beaming.
Yes.
And I got a pina colada. That's a double shot.
Ooh. Ooh.
If you ever see me, if you ever see me right then, like, that's my A-plus day.
I've seen this, Jalen, on multiple occasions. It's a sight to behold.
Yeah.
It's a sight to behold.
So absolutely. Not only do blacks tan, I'll give you a funny story. I was mad that I didn't make the All-Star game in like the early 2000s. And I went to, on a trip, I think to Mexico or Cancun or Turks and Caicos, I believe. And not only do I tan, Jacoby, no lotion. Rarely wear tan lotion. Rarely wear tan lotion. I don't want to get burned, but I don't really, you know, not this.
Black people can get sunburned. I've learned that over the years. I thought it was impossible. They can get sunburned for sure.
I came back to play that game. It was one of the most historic games in my career. Vince Carter had like 45. I had like 42. And we won. You look back at that game. The first thing everybody said when I returned that whole night, that whole week, is that I got so black. So what they were telling you is exactly right.
There you have it, LL Cool Trail from the 414. Black people definitely tan. That's why I love the voicemails. Call us up and leave a voicemail, 985-80-JALEN. Because you know what we're not doing? Putting Do Black People Tan on the rundown when we're making the show in the morning. So that's why we appreciate the voicemails, because it takes us in all kinds of different directions. And don't forget to go to bit.ly/JALEN Jacoby 427. Join us in the live event on the 27th. We will be back tomorrow with another Dope Pod Step 2. Why is that, Mr. Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.